on tonight. Terry and I both would like to thank those of you who have taken such good care of us and fed us and been very hospitable, and we really appreciate what all of you have done and the singing, especially music, and everything. We really appreciate it, and we hope that we've been a blessing to you. That is what we've been praying for since we were invited here to preach the revival, and we've been praying that we would be a blessing to you. And you know, this was going to be my last mean sermon, and I was going to start preaching nice ones, but you know, we just ran out of time, so sorry about that. You know, it's the way it goes sometimes, I guess. Look in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13.
This is not true.
And I know I've been rough, and I've been hard in my sermon, and I hope that you know that it is not to offend anybody. I'm not here trying to prove anything. I'm here trying to show you what the Scriptures say and how we can overcome these problems in our life. And what you'll find out is that revival, like I've been emphasizing, I want to emphasize it again, is not a feeling that you're going to have here in the meeting. It is going to be something that you take home and you live in your life. Because if revival ends when you get up from an altar call, or when you walk out of the building, when you get away from the euphoria and the emotion, if that's the end of revival, then the Christian church here on 602 Oakno is in big trouble. If you don't get anything that you can take home with you, and that's why I encourage you to take notes when we first started this meeting, so you take something home, you can look at it later, and apply something and live something in your life. Because that is real revival. Revival is not people storming the aisle with tears in their eyes. Revival are people that are going to dedicate themselves and their lives to live what they should live. Not because I'm there looking at them, not because the brethren are seeing them, but because they serve the Lord Christ. And that's revival. And that is what we sought to accomplish here. I'm not looking for big altar calls. It really does not bother me if nobody comes. What I'm interested in is that you make public commitment to Jesus Christ. And what I'm more interested in is that you go out and live that. And it's not for me, it's for you and your church, which happens to be my church. And this is what Jesus Christ talked on and touched on with Laodicea. Now, we touched about it a little bit in the morning. I want to go into it a little bit again. And that is that exhortation that he gave Laodicea. Be zealous. See, he didn't say, if you can. He said, be zealous. He didn't say, if it's possible, if it's not too difficult, if it's not too hard. He just said, be zealous. Now, there is some difficulty involved. You know, you look at the church of Laodicea and what Jesus says is wrong with it, and you say, you know what? That would be kind of hard to dig yourself out of. Without a doubt. Very difficult. And many of us, right here in this room, are right in the middle of that same attitude, of that same spiritual condition of Laodicea, and it is not easy to get out of it. But Jesus did not say, you know what, I know it's difficult, if you can't, I understand. He said, I'm sick of you, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, and this is the solution, be zealous. There's no room for whiners. There's no room for quitters. Jesus is saying, this is Laodicea, and if you don't want to be part of that, if you don't want to be grouped in with that, if you don't want to be that nauseating presence to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to do something about it. And whining is not doing anything about it. Now, you got a decision you need to make over the things we've touched on in this revival. Either you're going to side over here with the whiners, and I'm not speaking of you specifically, it's just a, you know, saying, over here with the whiners, or you're going to side over here with the people that do something, with the can-do people. See, because there's two kinds of Christians, the ones that are whining about how difficult it is, and how hard it is, and how much they would love to do it, and how if the Lord wills, and they whine and they whine, and they never do anything. Then you have the other side where Paul stands, and it's the can-do side. See, Paul was a can-do Christian. He didn't say, I want to, he said, I can do. And that's what we have the difference in Christianity today. And every one of us, every morning, and don't misunderstand, every morning we have to wake up and decide if we're going to be a can't-do or if we're going to be a can-do Christian. Because it's not going to happen. You think that right now you're going to feel some emotion and some conviction, and all of a sudden, bam, you are set for life and you'll never have problems again. You're going to have the same temptations tomorrow that you woke up with this morning. And this revival is not going to take them away. See, that's what people want. I don't know how many, but a lot of people want. When I'm invited in the churches in Mexico, what they're looking for is they think that I'm going to come, I'm going to shout and spit and sweat, and then that is somehow magically going to solve their problem. That all of a sudden, they're going to wake up every morning feeling like they want to serve God. But it doesn't work that way. You're going to wake up tomorrow with the same or worse depression that you had before I came. It's going to make no difference. The difference is not the difference I make, it's the difference you make. It's your life, and I can't live it for you, and I can't make decisions for you. I battle my own. And so you're going to have to wake up every morning and tell yourself, I'm going to be a can-do Christian. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You're going to have to make that decision. And sometimes you're going to have to make it more than once a day. There'll be times in your life where you're going to have that thought conscious on your head every minute of the day. You're going to have to be saying, I can do. Because temptation is not going to vanish because you had a revival in your church. If anything, it's going to get worse. Paul was a can-do Christian. I like can-do kind of guy. That's why I like my dad so much. Not the only reason I like my dad so much. After the hatchet experience, our love just kind of... No. My dad's a can-do man. You know, I've never found anything that, well, except for a computer, that he can't do. Now, a computer, he can't. He cannot. That's what he said. But he's a can-do man. You know, he decided he needs refrigerator, and so instead of, yeah, Jay says he can't cast. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, let's not start bringing up little technicality here. Let me get my illustration across. I need refrigerators, and so he goes out and builds refrigerators. I need ovens, so he goes out and builds ovens. You know, most people just go out and buy one. But no, because if you buy them, then you don't get the pleasure of buying the tools to make them. I like can-do people. I like walking in and finding a service station or some kind of a store or somewhere where they make something, and you walk up to the counter and say, hey, I need something, and the guy says, I can do it. That's the kind of people I like. I can do it. I don't like a bunch of whiners say, I can't. Well, what are you doing there then? Just, you know, poof away and find me somebody who can do it. That's what I'm interested in, can-do people. And you want a job? I'm going to give you a little free advice. You want a job? Be a can-do person. When they say, hey, who can do that? I can do it. You be a can-do person, and you'll find out how fast you can get a raise. But if we got a bunch of little punks running around the job who aren't can-do people. They can't do anything. And they're just walking around, and they say, well, we need someone to do this. Well, I can't do it, and I can't do it. I've been working with my dad, and we get these big old oxes, you know, size of John and Gibby, big old monsters, and they can't lift anything. Oh, it's heavy. I got bad back. Boy, those guys, I'm not saying they're that way. I'm just saying they're big like them, you know. They're big, you know. They're shade in the summer and heat in the winter, you know. Lucky woman who marries them. No, you get someone who's a can-do man, and they're appreciated. Well, Paul was a can-do Christian. He could do it. And he says it right here. This is his firm conviction. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I want to make an emphasis. This is not the power of positive thinking, because there is no power in positive thinking. You can think positive all day long. See, I can take out here a dollar bill and positively think it's $100, and when I go to McDonald's, it's not even going to buy me a Happy Meal. There is no power in positive thinking. We find right here, we'll find out where the power is, but it is not the power of positive thinking. This is faith. God has told him, you can do it, and Paul says, I don't feel like it. I don't have that sensation. I can't see how it is possible, but I believe God and I can do it. It's faith. And there's power in faith. Paul is a can-do man, and I think that we can go through this verse and kind of dissect it and find out what it is that gave Paul this can-do attitude. Where did this come from? How is it that this man, who he himself says, speaking of himself, very weak and very, very, very despreciado. Anyway, you people know Spanish what I'm talking about. Yeah, see, the brother told me, preach in Spanish, speak in tongues, but I'm not going to do that today. Where is it? Well, I want to go through this verse, like I said, and just sort of dissect it, take it apart, and see where did this can-do attitude and can-do power come from in Paul. The first place we find there in the verse of chapter 13 is that first word, I. See, Paul accepted full responsibility. Can-do people are people that accept the responsibility for their life. You will never be a can-do Christian as long as you're constantly pointing the finger somewhere else and saying, it's not me, I can't do it. You have to take responsibility. Full responsibility for what needs to be done. You know, you come to revival, many times you say, I really hope the Lord gets a hold of me and changes me. Well, the Lord's not going to change you. You're going to have to change you. You may not like that, but that's the truth. God, He'll strengthen you, but that doesn't change what Paul says. I can do all things. Paul still had to do them. We get this idea that God's just going to, you know, we're just going to be sitting there watching television, and all of a sudden God's going to come down with his little magic wand, and he's going to change our attitude. It's not going to happen. You want your attitude changed? Then you're going to have to do it. You have to take full responsibility for yourself. And that's the problem. We have these Christians with sour attitudes, and they're saying, well, it's not me, it's just the way I feel. You can change the way you feel. That's what Paul's saying. I can do it. I can change the way I feel. I can change the things I think about. I can change the movies I see. I can change these things. I can do it. You can go witnessing. You can make the meeting. You can stand up in the open meetings and share. But you're going to have to do it. See, God's not going to walk up behind you and grab you by the belt and stand you up in the open meeting. You're going to have to do it. God's not going to bring the Bible over, floating through the air, and open it up in a passage so you can read in the morning. You're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to get the Bible out and dust it off and read a couple chapters. You're going to have to do it. And that's what can-do people are. They accept full responsibility. Second thing we find here is the second couple words. He says, can do. I can do. He disavows any condition. He didn't say, I can do unless. I can do if. You know, one of the things we say, and I understand the biblical sense, but I think we kind of abuse it. We say, if the Lord will. Now, there are things that you ought to be cautious and say, if the Lord will. When you're making your plan, you better say, if the Lord will. But when Christians are saying, I'm gonna quit sinning if the Lord wills, look, buddy, the Lord wills, you're the one that lacks the will. You know, I'm gonna go soul winning here this week if the Lord wills. Look, the Bible says, go ye. The Lord already willed it. You're the one that lacks the willpower. So there are things where you're gonna have to disavow any conditions. You can't put conditions on this, because the moment you say, unless it rains, it's gonna rain. You know, I'm going to quit going with those friends unless this happens. Well, that's going to happen. You see, because God is going to test your resolve. If you put any conditions, it's like people who say, you know, I'm going to save this money for a rainy day. Well, they're always spending it because it's always a rainy day. You know, that's why if you make savings, now I know I shouldn't be saying anything about this, but if you have a savings, you can't say it's a savings for a rainy day. Because when it's raining, you're going to use it. Understand? And that's how it is with Christians. We get this idea that, okay, I can do it, I can change, unless, and we start putting these little conditions on it. We say, unless it gets too difficult, unless it gets too hard, unless I get weak, unless, and if, and we never get it done. Can-do people, they say, I can do it. No conditions put on it. I can do it. Yes, it might get difficult, but I can do it. You know what, it might get hard, but I can do it. The moment you tolerate, or you give the idea, you allow yourself to get the idea that there is our conditions which you on which you can't supersede or you can't overcome, you will not overcome. And you read Laodicea, the blessed are the overcomers. People who overcome. And that's what you're going to have to be if you want to dig yourself out of the hole that you're in. You're going to have to be a can-do Christian, and that means no conditions put on it. You're going to have to say, I can do it. Period. I can do it. Third thing is, he says, the second phrase, he says, all things. See, there are none. He abolishes every exception. No exception. He didn't say, I can do some things. I can do a few things. I can do many things. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things. Can-do Christians, they're not limited. Say, well, you know what? I can change the way my faith looks, but I can't change my attitude. You know, I find that in many Christians I deal with. They come to church with this bad attitude, and they say, well, that's the way I am. I can't change. No, you can change. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. You can. But the problem is, we make exceptions. And whenever you have exceptions, you have weaknesses. You understand me? So you're going to have to get it in your mind that what the Bible is telling you, that there are no exceptions. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Bible says that no temptation has taken us but what is common to man, and that we can overcome it. I realize that temptations come, and look, I'm as subject to them as any of you are. And they come, and sometimes we get weak, but you better understand, you could have overcome. We may have chosen not to, but we could have. We sure could have. And you should feel ashamed, and I should feel ashamed when temptation conquers us, because the Bible says very clearly, God makes a promise, you can take it. He doesn't allow you to be tempted above your strength. The problem is that you believe yourself to be much weaker than what you really are. And you make exceptions. Touch on one more thing here. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. You have to renounce all self-reliance. This is what I was talking about at the beginning. There's no power in positive thinking. The power is in Christ Jesus. Paul could not do all things because he closed his eyes and crossed his legs and went into praying mantis position and started psyching himself out. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. That isn't why. Paul did not have to psych himself out to overcome temptation, because there is no power in the psyche. The power is in Christ Jesus. And if you're not saved, you are powerless in front of the devil. He owns you and he pulls you around wherever he wants. The only reason we can do all things is because of Christ. He's the only reason. The only reason. And so as long as you're trusting in you, and your brains, and your wisdom, and your ability, and your power, you will not be able to do anything. Anything. You will be powerless before the devil. And that is why we as Christians battle so many times and fall so easily, because we go out and do battle with the devil. But we're not to go out and do battle with the devil. It says in the Bible that we're to put on the armor of God, and we're to have the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Word, and we're going to have the Spirit, and we're supposed to go out, and we're supposed to fight in the power of Christ. Not even the angels make battle with the devil by themselves. The Bible says that Michael the archangel, when he disputed over the body of Moses, it says there that he did not even attempt. I'm going to have to paraphrase it because I don't know the exact word in English. But he did not attempt to call down the devil by his own power, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. You understand? You cannot do it, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I'm not here trying to give you some motivational speech where you walk out saying, ooh, yeah, I'm powerful. We can do it. Come on, devil, put him up, because you're going to be down and out before you can even realize what hit you. The only power a Christian has is through Christ. That's it. That's it. The day Christ leaves you, you're open game. You won't last a minute. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Michael, what will happen if you try to do battle with the devil by yourself? I'm going to be down and out before I can get out of this room. We can have no confidence in the flesh. We must renounce all self-reliance. And you think you're going to go out and you're going to put up your fist, or you're going to outsmart the devil, buddy, you're in for a big surprise. You're not going to outsmart him, and you're not going to intimidate him. And the devil's not some stupid vampire from a dumb horror movie. You can pull up a little cross and a little holy water, and he runs away screaming like a girl. The devil leans on the cross and drinks your holy water and eats you for breakfast. No, the only power that a Christian has, according to Paul, is through Christ. That's it. And that's why we must go to the Lord Jesus in prayer every day and ask Him to endow us with strength and power from upon high. Because we can't. We can't. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And this is what Paul is talking about. When Paul, he comes out and says, I can do it, he's not trusting in himself. He's not saying, I'm the apostle. Because you read the epistles of Paul, and you'll find out Paul was fearful throughout all his epistles of failing and falling and not making it to the end. And yet he had this assurance, through Christ, I can do it. Through Christ. So what happens? How is it that Christians fall and Christians don't make it to the end and they don't finish their course because they stepped out of the through Christ? And all they could think about is, I can. You can. But Christ can. Because a long time ago, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to the earth and he stormed the castle of the strong man. He kicked down the door. He bound the strong man. He took away all his weapons with which he terrorized us. He led captivity captive. That's why. Jesus Christ has won the victory. We don't have to be defeated. Christians. We don't have to be part of Laodicea. Now, I've said this a couple times. I'm going to say it again just to get the point across. I really believe that the church as a whole, in other words, what we call the visible church, it's gone. I believe we're in the last times and it's over. And right now what Jesus is looking for is individual victory. This is the last day. And you can be victorious. There aren't very many of them, but Jesus does say there are overcomers in this age. And you can be one of them. But it's not going to happen tonight. And it's not because I get too emotionally stirred up. And it's not because you come down and make public commitments. That's not enough. You're going to have to go out, and every second of every day, you're going to have to tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. You're going to have to make an actual scheduled prayer time in which you pray and ask for power from God in your life. You're going to have a scheduled time when you read the Bible and arm yourself against the wiles of the devil. You're going to have to do these things, and there's going to be many more. And I can't, I'm not here to make you a list. Because that's the point. That's the point. We're beyond that now. This is individual victory now. You're going to have to figure out how to do it. None of you people here, or almost none of you people here, are baby Christians, or babies in Christ. You should be able to, put together a little list of things with which you can get victory in your life. You know your temptation. You know you're going to have to amputate some things in your life. Don't just come down here and say, oh Lord, I want to quit. Go home and get rid of whatever it is that's impeding you. Get rid of it. Don't put it in the closet. Break it and put it in the trash can. See, that's what we do. We put them in the closet until we... You can't control your hobby. They consume you. And you quit. Just quit. Now, I can go, and like I said, that's not my intention. My intention is not to point out and to give you a specific list of things to do. But my intention is to tell you that we should be victorious Christians. If you are or not, will be up to you. That's the first point. You have to accept responsibility. You can't blame your pastor if you're a failure in Christian life. You are the one that can do it. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame your church. You can't blame your society. You have to take full responsibility. If you want to be a victorious Christian in this life, if you want to be an overcomer in the church of Laodicea, then you're going to have to take the responsibility and say, I can do all things through Christ's strength in me. You have to put in action what you have committed. And that, only time will tell. Right now you can say, amen, brother, I believe it. But words are cheap. And I've been preaching 13 years. I've been a pastor since I was about 16 years old, as some of you are supposed to see. And what I found out is that I don't trust people. Oh, brother, we're going to be here forever. We give those people about 3.5 months. Man, you can't get rid of me with a stick. We give them about 4 months. And they're out of here. I'm going to be here, boy. I'm wrong. I'm revived. I'm going to be here every meeting. They won't make 3 in a row. And that's how it is. And that's sad. But you know what? You're the one losing. You're the one that's living in defeat. You're the one that's believing all your stupid little cop-outs. God doesn't believe them. He says he's sick of you. He's going to spew you out of his mouth. If you want to be a victorious Christian, don't come telling me about it. Don't go telling the pastors about it. You go out and live it. That's what this revival is about. It's about how you live from here for a year. For another year. Every day you're going to have to say, this is a new day, and I'm going to live my Christian life the way I should. I'm going to live in revival. Amen? If you have anything that has been convicting you throughout this week, that you need to commit to Jesus Christ, make a commitment that you're going to live the way you should live, that you're going to be the kind of wife you should be, you're going to be the kind of husband you should be, that you're going to be the kind of soul winner, that you're going to make the meetings the way you should be coming to the meetings. Whatever it is, if you have something that has been convicting you, I'm going to invite you to come up and make public commitment to Jesus Christ, because that's the first step to living a Christian life. I invite you to come. You can come right now. We're not going to have any music or any songs. If you want to make commitment to Jesus Christ, I invite you to come up right now. Anybody at all. If you have been making cop-outs and excuses for your life, and I'm going to invite you to come up and confess that and tell the Lord Jesus Christ that you want Him to strengthen you so you can do it. You come on up right now. Is there anybody? Anybody else? Don't sit there thinking that someone's going to think evil of you. Nobody even notices you. We don't even know you're in the room. You come on up to the front and make a commitment to Jesus Christ and get things right in your life. Jesus wants you to be victorious. He has given
given you the power through Christ to do so. And all you have to do is accept responsibility for your life. Accept responsibility for your life. And do what the Lord's telling you to do, and you can be a can-do Christian just like Paul. Anybody else wants to come to the front? This is your last chance in this revival.